It's birth, it's life, it's renewal, encouragement for the day. It is the Word of God, and it's right where we find ourselves today on Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. Make it a point to join us as we study God's Word together. Coming to you from United Reformed Church here in Linden, this is Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon. We welcome you to the broadcast and would invite you to join us for the next few moments as we open up God's Word, studying God's Word that we might find life. With this edition of Abounding Grace now, again from United Reformed Church here in Linden, once again, our teacher and pastor, here's Pastor Chris Gordon.
Well, thank you for tuning in to this Thursday session of Abounding Grace. And today we return to our study of Romans chapter 16, the end of Romans chapter 16, where the apostle says this: "Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience has become known to all, therefore I'm glad on your behalf, but I want you to be wise in what is good and simple concerning evil, and the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly." You know, that came right at the end of the book after a lot of long instruction. And it's such a sudden warning, you have to ask and think about, why did the apostle put it here? And why is it so strong? Right after a call to unity, right after the previous verse from that warning was, "Greet one another with a holy kiss, the churches of Christ greet you." That was the most affectionate embrace of love in the East. And here Paul was talking about unity, and then he warns, you know, everything we've been considering in Romans, be careful, because there are going to be those who come in and cause divisions and offenses contrary to this doctrine. And it's always to the doctrine which you've received. That's where the greatest attack of the devil, the greatest disunity is always on a doctrinal level. Sure, we can have disputes over the church building and foolish things, stupid things, and the Lord just comes along and says, knock it off. Be one, you know, sacrifice, have the mind of Christ. But this is very dangerous, my friends. Very dangerous. And people need to understand that when we became members of the body of Christ, when we united ourselves and we joined to a church and we put our confidence in the Lord, we enlisted in a warfare for the truth. Remember what Jude said right at the beginning of that little epistle of Jude: contend earnestly for the faith once for all delivered to the saints. It's warfare. We are in spiritual warfare to hold fast to this deposit of truth that has been entrusted to us in this glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the devil wants to disrupt it. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea. The devil has come down to you having great wrath, for he knows he has a short time. He wants to destroy the unity of the body of Christ, and he does it primarily on a doctrinal level. So what we considered yesterday was the ways in which the apostle outlines here we are to deal with this. What does he say first in verse 17? Note those who do this. It's the word from where we get the word scope. So the first responsibility is, and I know this is so contrary to everything we hear today, scope them. Mark them out. That's the opposite of what we're told to do. Today, there's just great pressure. Don't say anything about anyone, right? I mean, every minister knows this. Don't mention them. Don't offend. Don't criticize. Don't expose. But that is contrary to what we're being commanded to do here. That mentality is wrong. That is the ultimate lack of love. If your child ran out in the middle of the street, you're going to warn them, aren't you? Of course you are. How different should it be any different in the body of Christ? God sets up under shepherds of the Lord Jesus Christ to warn the flock. That's our vow we take to do this. We're receiving a command. Notice what you, but this is not just us. It's in the body of Christ. You are to scope them. You are to note them who do this. Put them under the microscope. Know who they are. Keep your eye fixed on them. Paul did this all the time, warning the sheep of those who are out to shipwreck their faith. And he gives us an example of what scoping looks like. 2 Timothy 4:14, Alexander the coppersmith, notice he just names him. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. You also must beware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. At my first offense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that the message might be fully preached through me and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. No one stood with him at first, he says. Everyone abandoned me, he says, when Alexander the coppersmith spoke against him. The Lord strengthened. Mark them. Note them, scope them. That's the first thing he says to do. Second, scope those who cause divisions, and here it is, and avoid them. Don't talk to them. Don't give them an ear. Why? You know, even so the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. This is James. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire by hell. Wow. James 4 and 5 is a strong warning about how dangerous the tongue is in the life of the church. Now imagine the tongue of a person that comes with smooth words and flattering speech in the life of the church, who's articulate. Think about what the tongue of a divisive person can do in the hearts of the naive of the church. Think about it. If it is an attack contrary to what you've received, he says you are to avoid them at all costs. Avoid them. So scope them and avoid them. And this is what he says in verse 19. For your obedience has become known to all. Therefore, I am glad on your behalf, but I want you to be wise in what is good and simple concerning evil. He's encouraging them. Your obedience, everyone knows about. Your love for the truth. Your love for one another. Remember what we considered in 1 John. You have no need that anyone teach you. You know the truth. He's not saying we don't need teachers. He's saying you know enough of the truth that the Holy Spirit has given to you to be able to discern, true and false doctrine. Your obedience, everyone knows about. Your love for the truth, your love for one another. He says, but I'm warning you of this so that you would be wise in what is good, but pure, literally pure, concerning evil. That you would not be carried away by this. The biblical writers, with the outpouring of the Spirit, have confidence in the true children of God. Confidence in what the Holy Spirit is doing in the children of God, in this great warfare to which we have been enlisted in Christ's kingdom against this whole dominion of darkness. And so what he's essentially doing here at the close of this warning is saying, look to the promise. I know this is hard. I know these things cause great divisions in the life of the church. I know this is a warfare that is difficult and taking stands is difficult because you're always labeled as unloving and hypocritical. That's just the mode. But he says, notice what he says. The God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. Satan was initially crushed at Golgotha. Golgotha means the place of the skull. The Lord Jesus crushed his head. When Christ died and rose victorious and was seated, and essentially the judgment of Satan was secured, it was done. He was seated above all principality and power, the Lord Jesus Christ. But until he comes again, you have to know this reality. The devil roams about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour next. He has come down to us, as Revelation says, as having great wrath because he knows that he has a short time. And his primary attack in the life of the church is on this kind of doctrinal level. You've got to be warned. You've got to know what's happening. But Paul's saying, don't lose heart. Don't be downcast. You've been told beforehand, this is what it is. But know that very shortly, all the opposition we face, all the pain, all the warfare, it will be over. God is literally going to shamble into pieces, literally into pieces, Satan under your feet. You need to recognize, you know, and I want to close today with something that Paul said in 2 Corinthians 11 so that we would have a good understanding of this as we close, a good understanding of the seriousness of the warfare. What were they dealing with in Corinth? But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit, which you've not received, or a different gospel, which you've not accepted, you may well put up with it. So he's warning that some will put up with this. You can't do that, and you've got to understand, he says, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. My friends, that's going on in the church. That's happening in the church. And you've enlisted in a warfare. Nothing is easy about this. We are to contend earnestly for this faith once delivered to the saints, as Jude says. But we have to recognize this is only temporary, this warfare. Christ is victorious. Christ has bought his church. He's paid for her with his precious blood. So then we are called today to hold fast in our unity and in our love together in the purpose and advancement of this gospel. In our purpose that we would be churches that Christ would look down upon from heaven and say, boy, that church is a church zealous for my truth, zealous in their love for one another, a love in their warning, but also to receive this for what it is. And you know, God gives us a benediction to those who look to the Lord Jesus Christ. A glorious benediction. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen.
Studying God's Word that we might grow in our affection and love for Christ. This has been Abounding Grace with our teacher and pastor, Chris Gordon, from United Reformed Church here in Linden. We come to you each and every day for a short time that we might study God's Word together, that we might grow in His grace and His amazing love for us. If you have questions or comments, as always, we stand ready to do our best to answer them. We're at 360-318-0429. Again, you can reach us at 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. You can find out a bit more about us, United Reformed Church here in Linden, who we are, what we believe, worship opportunities, and the like, at lindenurc.com. Now, that's our website where we even have some of the past messages as preached by Pastor Chris Gordon. They're available for you to listen to. Again, lindenurc.com. And then, as always, you're welcome to join us for worship. Our service times are at 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. We meet at 8650 Benson Road here in Linden, Washington. For directions, either go to our website, lindenurc.com, or again, call 360-318-0429. That's 360-318-0429. We thank you for joining us today and look forward to seeing you next time for another broadcast of Abounding Grace with Pastor Chris Gordon.